Kelly, Kelly, sweetheart, you've just made me the happiest man in the world.
What do you mean?
I know that I haven't got a lot of money, and we won't be able to live in a big house at first. We'll have to live in a little apartment, and we won't be able to afford a car and all the nice luxuries of life, but I'm going to make you the proudest woman on earth.
Just a moment, John. I think you have me all wrong. I misunderstood your question. You said you like the Joy Boys, and I said I do, but I did not say anything about getting married.
Well, golly bumps, huh? Guess you can't win all the time.
No.
Huh?
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Time for the Joy Boys show for this Friday evening, the day after Turkey Day. Oh, there's one left over. This is Ed Walker here.
Leonard Scott here. The mystery man's on the board. He's been taking speech lessons from George Brewington. George is off today. I mean, physically.
Oh.
And Bobby Shenton is there on the board. Arthur Page is running it into the ground again.
Yeah. Big weekend coming up.
Wonderful. Everybody looks good. And coming up on our program this day of...
Got a new stereophonic LP I'm going to be listening to over the weekend.
We're not interested in that.
Sounds of the Sports Cars for 1961.
We really don't care about that at all.
Wonderful.
I don't think. Coming up on our show today, WRC, please.
Oh. Ow.
The WRC Roundtable of Knowledge will present its members discussing another word.
Mm-hmm.
Betty Crockett will tell you what to do with leftover turkey. And Mr. Fixit is going to build something for us.
Hey, that sounds like building an empire.
The Joy Boys of radio.
I definitely
we
feel that Jonathan Apple has a holiday spirit as he comes into our studio beating his tom-tom.
A leftover pie pan from yesterday's dinner.
Welcome to our show.
I ate the whole pie, so I'm not getting thinner.
This is our WRC Poet Laureate.
Whether you're from east or west, north or south, today is Friday, so don't be down in the mouth.
Now, here's Jonathan with our apple for the day, our poem for the day.
Wait a minute. Thank you.
Tell the audience. Audience, knock it off.
Yes.
Wait till you read the poem.
He's my uncle.
Oh. Here's Jonathan Apple with his poem.
Our poem for the day. The guests have gone, easing the congestion. Now I'm left with a bad case of indigestion.
Hey, that's wonderful. Now, in closing, here's Jonathan Apple, who'd like to say...
Can I have a drink of water, please? That's Tommy Dorsey and the orchestra, the most beautiful girl in the world. We're featuring Tommy Dorsey music today at WRC, in case you didn't know it by now. But that's what we're doing. Hey, you know, following Thanksgiving Day, Safeway suggests a change of fare menu for the weekend. Put your remaining turkey aside in the freezer.
Yeah, I'm ready to try something else.
Okay, try a complete change in meals. Now, here's the economy with quality and flavor. A Safeway smoked picnic. Like all meats you buy at Safeway, smoked picnics are fully guaranteed, and they are fresh, flavorful, and full of quality. Or try Safeway's guaranteed meatloaf made under U.S. government supervision and inspection.
I always thought it was made under the store there.
No, they make it under supervision. Safeway guaranteed meatloaf is 50% beef, 25% pork, 25% veal, and 100% delicious. All blended, and all you have to do is just add the seasoning to taste, and then mold it and bake it for a delicious change of fare menu. Safeway guaranteed meatloaf is only 59 cents a pound, or Safeway sliced bologna, made in Safeway's own federally inspected kitchens, only 49 cents a pound. Just a few of the change of fare menu suggestions from Safeway, where food is first.
The National Broadcasting Company takes great pleasure in presenting the WRC Roundtable of Knowledge, a weekly feature presentation of this NBC station. Each week, our panel members take one word and discuss it, semantically speaking.
A cheese
they go back and check the word's history, its origin, and report to you on how the word came to be accepted as it is today in our vernacular.
In my class, I got something to eat with the coffee today. That's nice.
I would now like to introduce you, our audience, to our panel members and vice versa. So, please, gentlemen, ladies, could I have your attention?
Good evening, Mr. Vice versa, and all the ships at sea.
Welcome to our program. First of all, Mr. Orson Meyer, representing the Chicago Institute for the Abolishment of Chicago.
Mr. Meyer. Hello, Mr. Meyer.
Anonym, formerly the Miss Synonym of 1932, now with the East, West, North, South Word Study Group for Word Preservation.
Thank you, and I'm up for Miss Synonym of 1961, too.
Finally, the eminent and distinguished gentleman, the professor of neo-anthrosemantics of Wiesbaden, Germany, Professor Heinrich von Lein.
And when you learn to say the correct word correctly, then I will acknowledge it. Otherwise, I'm professor. Remember that.
All right, Mr. Meyer.
Don't cough.
Mr. Meyer?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
M?
Yes.
Then the professor.
Jawohl.
Are you ready for today's word?
Jawohl. Yes.
All right, here it is. Today's word is giblet or giblet.
Giblet or giblet?
Giblet or giblet.
Giblet or giblet.
Giblet or giblet.
Giblet or giblet. Sounds like an old vaudeville act.
All right, Mr. Meyer, and would you like to tell us giblet? What does the word mean?
Yes, well, let's see. That's a tricky word. Actually, giblet is a small glass that you drink out of. It's a drinking glass, very dainty. And,
I believe that's a goblet. I believe you'll come to tomorrow.
I differ with you,
Miss
there.
Ma'am, you know what a giblet is?
No, I'm talking about a goblet. Now, a goblet, my friend, is something you make with eggs and cheese, and you can add a little meat in there if you want to. You know, you scramble the eggs. That's a goblet.
No, that's an omelet. I think you'd find
it. Ah, Deliva, why don't you wise up there, Mr. Analta? Everybody knows that an omelet is a great Shakespearean tragedy.
That's
to
Hamlet.
Be or not to be.
Hamlet, for heaven's sakes. The Shakespearean play is Hamlet. Now, don't get that
Hamlet,
all.
Hamlet, that's a small town, I think it is.
That's right, but that's not
hey,
what it is.
Hey, good for me.
That's right, a Hamlet is a small town. But what is a giblet?
I've never heard of it.
Ms. Nim?
Never heard of it
Professor?
Either.
I don't ask me. I just.
Join us again next week when, again on Friday, we shall present our WRC roundtable and we will discuss another word, its semantics, its origin. This program came to you through Falls Church.
There you have it, Miss Edie Gourmet.
Hey, that's the Gourmet. What's the matter for you anyway?
Oh, thank you. Aldo Argentier corrected me. Edie Gourmet and back in your own front yard there.
They're here.
Perky the page. Just Perky, we're on the air, don't you know that?
I can't help it. They're here.
What, you got a tour coming through?
No. A wonderful new 1961 Ramblers. Oh, they're great. New styling, new comfort, and engineering features. See them all right now at your Rambler dealers.
Well, Perky, I was supposed to do that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, forget it. You did the commercial fine.
Well, Edward,
that time of day again to pay a visit to the experimental kitchen. We haven't been down here in this hallway in a long time.
You know, I got a note from Betty Crockett in the mail this morning, and she said to please stop by sometime this afternoon. She had something pretty special to announce about what to do with the leftover turkey.
You know, this door is a hard one to open, so if you just lean on it there, we can sort of
poke it. Okay. Just lean on it.
Here we go. Welcome to the kitchen.
Once again, it's time to pay another visit to Miss Betty Crockett in the experimental kitchen. And here she is. Betty Crockett.
Oh, wholesome school bell, baby.
And rehearsing for the music man.
I want to get a boy just like Frank Forrester. He's
Betty.
A real winner.
And we're on.
He's a meathead and a meteorologist. Hello, Betty.
You're Betty and I'm Eddie.
Hello, Betty. You sure are Betty, Eddie.
No, I said you're Betty
Come
and
here,
I'm
you
Eddie.
Old sweet thing.
Well, Betty,
a two-bell ringer every time.
That was a lovely dinner we had yesterday.
I got my new ones back from the dentist. Boy, got a good bite on them, haven't they?
Oh, they sure do.
How do you like them?
Betty, can I have one of those?
I think
ringers?
Get your...
Ow!
Whee! Oh. Get your hands off my raisin cookies. I don't know. You're a dirty old man. That's all I got to say to you.
Betty, in the little note you sent us, you said something to the effect that you had some plans for the leftover turkey.
Eddie, That Willard is getting fat as a pig.
Well, he's eating your good cooking.
He looks obese.
How's that?
You ought to go down and see Vic Jenny, the old radio actor, and get some reducing in. He's a monster.
He just likes to eat. He enjoys
the stomach
food.
On him like a moose.
Don't think so that he'll hear you. I mean, we wouldn't want that to happen.
No.
Now, about the leftover turkey, I'm sure...
What about it?
All over America, and as a matter of fact, all over the world, people have...
Mainly in America,
yes,
though.
Lots of turkey left over from yesterday's dinner. The question is, what to do with the bird?
That's exactly why I ask you all down here. I suppose you wonder why I ask you in here this evening.
I did have that question. Yes.
Well, Eddie, it seems to me that more young housewives today have never had this big a problem because they, you know, cook out of the frozen freezer and everything, and a lot of them don't know what to do with all the leftover giblets from the old bird.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know?
That was in the last bit, wasn't it?
I heard it.
Yeah.
You're pretty bad,
yeah.
I thought.
Well, what about the leftover turkey?
It's been getting worse every week, Eddie. I meant to write you a note about it.
Well, don't start throwing
some
stones.
Of the girls we used to have dinner, you know, down at the old restaurant, and we talk about the show.
Yeah, I see.
Arthur Codfish is cute, but that one's kind of sick.
Yeah. Getting back to the turkey.
We think so, anyway.
I say, getting back to the turkey, what are we going to do?
What's that, dear?
So getting back to the turkey.
Oh! I do miss my mind every once in a while.
No.
Yes, getting back to the turkey, Eddie. These young girls don't know what to do with it. Leftover turkey.
I see. So what do you have in mind? Turkey croquette?
No.
Turkey pot pie?
No.
Turkey hash?
No.
Turkey souffle?
No. No.
Turkey soup?
No.
Well, I'm at a loss here. What are you going to do with the leftover turkey?
Eddie, tell all the girls to take all the old turkey bone.
Yeah.
Take all the turkey stuffing.
Yeah.
Take all the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Take all the wings, the thigh, and the hip bone. Take everything you can find, the celery, the cranberries.
Yeah, the whole
put
thing.
It in a big bag and throw it in the trash can. Put the lid on it.
Like that.
And get rid of it that way, because you're just going to be fooling around for the next couple of days. Let me help carry out this thing.
Thank you,
come on, women. You've been sitting over there, your thumb in your mouth. Come on, let's go.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye, baby.
And so, we say so long.
Give me a kiss, buddy.
To the experimental kitchen. That's Perry Como on a thing called Make Someone Happy here on the Joy Boy Show, and we hope we're doing just that.
WRC Radio, in cooperation with Johnson & Swanson, the world's greatest manufacturer of first aid kits, brings you another visit with Mr. Fixit, Radio's original do-it-yourself program. Today, as we join Mr. Fixit, we find him down here in his basement workshop with some blueprints of some sort. Wait a minute. Ahoy there, Mr. Fixit.
Ahoy there, Willard Scott, and good evening. Ladies and gentlemen,
we have our portable microphone and we're transmitting, Mr. Fixit. So say hello to your audience.
Hello to your audience.
Very good. Now, what do you have over here, Mr. Fixit?
These are the blueprints from one of my latest projects right here.
Say there, this is a rather cumbersome and large, extravagant looking project. Would you care to comment on this?
Yes, I would. I have just finished building a bird bath.
A bird bath, Mr. Fixit?
Yes, and I'd like for you to walk right over here and take a look at the blueprints. You see,
please.
Here it is. First of all,
I don't know how to read blueprints.
Oh, well, let me point things out to you with a pencil here.
Okay, sure.
First of all, you see, here is the tile floor, right there.
Bird bath with a tile floor.
And the tile siding, very nicely done, if I do say so myself.
I must say, Mr. Fixit always does a nice job on whatever project he's endeavoring.
Thank you. Then, of course, we have the glass enclosure, so that the birds will have some privacy there.
Enclosure for the birdhouse?
Then we have the hot and cold running water. And a shower spigot at the top.
Wait, Mr. Fixit.
Nice drain.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's a beautiful project, and I imagine it's gorgeous, but I can't understand why all the elaborate fixings and everything.
Well,
could you show me which tree this birdhouse is in?
Oh, it's not in a tree.
It's not in a tree?
No. No privacy that way.
Well,
silly.
Is the bird bath out in the yard?
No, of course not. Too cold out there. Here, follow me. I'll show you.
Oh, all right. I'd like to see it. Yeah.
And down the street. And right up here.
Yeah.
There we go. Right in this door.
Whose house are we going into?
Never mind. You don't know him there.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't like to walk into somebody's house.
Now then, right back here.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to see the bird.
The bird bath. Right back here, you'll see.
Right.
It's right over here in this next room there. You can hear the water running.
Somebody's in the
I like that. First time in my life I ever heard a guy playing a guitar in a bathtub.
Wait a minute, whose house is this?
Charlie Bird, the jazz guitar player.
And you built him a
bird bath. Yes,
a bathtub in the bath.
Oh, the birds. That's the bird bath. Yeah,
bird bath.
That's nice plan, Charlie.
We've been visiting. We got to pay Union Steel to this guy to play on the radio. I mean, you've gotten us into a lot of trouble.
Oh, well, I'll make
We've been visiting with radio's original goof-it-yourselfer, Mr. Fix-It, brought to you by Johnson & Swanson, the world's foremost manufacturer of first aid kits. Be listening again next week when you'll hear Mr. Fix-It say...
Take another course, Charlie.
Joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro.
That does it for the joy boys for this evening. Willard had to duck out early. He got a part-time job as butter boy at the popcorn machine at one of the bigger theaters here in town. This is Ed Walker, hoping you enjoyed it. Thanks to Art.
Yeah.
Bobby. Aldo.
My shoes.
We'll see you Monday with more fun and frolic, so you join us.
This is Charles Stafford reminding you that I'm out to get Lee Dayton's job.
Oh, we are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
The piano tuner hits a chord on the piano that's absolutely frightening next.
Man, you scared me. Don't do that.
Oh, I forgot to mention George Brewington, didn't I? I'm sorry. George?
WRC, WRCFM, Washington.
Romeo! Romeo! Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Forsooth, Juliet. I am here down among the lilac branches, and I love you so.
Why do you not climb to the top of my balcony and tell me this?
Oh, fair Juliet, methinks me extension cable from your radio will not reach all the way to the tippity top.
Fear not, Romeo. I have me transistor, and together we can listen to the joy boys.
I'll up the balcony towards you.
Good.
Ah, listen, they're playing our song, Junior.
Oh, see.
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Monday night time once again for the Joy Boys. This is Ed Walker here.
Willard Scott over here welcoming Georgie Brewington behind the glass. Bobby Shenton for the glass. And Arthur Page on top of the consulate.
Right.
Good evening and welcome to our exciting.
We have an interesting little program coming up for you this evening, I think.
I think it's going to be a peachy keen show this evening, Edward.
What are we going to have?
Sammy Skin and his musical drums will be along.
Swinging.
We're going to interview a company official from the Cheap Originals Incorporated.
Uh-huh.
And Arthur Codfish will be along to give us some of his wisdom.
Sounds like a rare treat for all of our listeners out there in radio.
I think it's going to be one of the biggest, most exciting shows we've ever done, Edward.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Keep your dial set.
All right. Do we have an award?
Yes, we do, Edward. The railroad workers of the greater Washington area have just voted us the biggest caboose in radio.
I don't... That sounds dirty to me.
Well, we better play a record here for laughs, just in case. I understand the lumber men of America have just voted us the two biggest shows out on a limb in radio.
I like mine better.
I think the one we did in rehearsal was much better than that. Cue the engineer.
That's called You Go to My Head, done for you by Larry Elgart and his orchestra.
I was just sitting here drumming my pencil here.
Yeah, I know. That's a nervous habit you got. I wish you'd...
I was thinking we ought to do something exciting.
Like what?
Well, like doing a commercial. Let's make up a commercial.
All right.
Of all the commercials you'd like to do, best of all, what's your favorite commercial?
Well, Rambler is one of my favorites.
You really like to do Rambler commercials?
Yes, yes, because the Rambler dealer has a new complete line of 1961 Ramblers.
That's a good opening line. What could I say that would really sock in a punchline sale there?
Say that the new Rambler, write this down.
The, let's see, the new
Rambler.
Rambler.
Carries a full year.
Wait a minute. I spell full.
F-U-L-L.
There's no full like an old full.
That's it.
Full year.
Or 12,000-mile warranty.
New full what?
No, you get a full year or 12,000-mile
oh,
warranty.
I didn't quite understand.
Whichever
that.
Comes first.
Yeah, all right.
Now, that's yeah. What, that's the big impact that you want there. So
that's very good.
Just end advice thanks to your Rambler dealer today.
Today?
Yeah.
That's terrific.
That's
I think
fine.
We've done
we
a great
a commercial.
Yeah, that's great.
All
I'll
right.
Leave this for Al Ross, and he can butcher
okay.
It up tomorrow.
Sure.
You know, have those little. Have you seen those strange little people that follow him around the hall?
How about that?
With the little voices.
Hey, somebody's out in the hall.
Yeah. There's a knock on the door. Stereo. What do you know?
Two guys.
Yeah. Come on in.
Thank you very much. This is Sammy Skin. Here's a little card for him this week. That's it. Okay. That's good right there. Willard? Mad?
Yes,
hello,
Sam.
Sammy.
I'd like you to meet my brother-in-law, Jerome.
Who?
Can you speak up a little bit, Jerome? You're on the air.
Who? Who?
Okay. I thought that tonight we'd like to...
kind of a weird-looking guy. Is that
well,
your brother-in-law?
Yes, that's my brother-in-law. And we're going to... what's the word I want? Not embellish, but...
Improvise?
No,
take a
augment.
Fun. Augment.
My drumming with a... another instrument of music.
What does augment mean?
Add two.
Oh.
Okay? So,
adding two.
Yeah, Jerome here plays the bass, viol, or could be called a viol bass. Oh, shut up, Jerome.
That's pretty funny.
Now then, if you don't mind, I'd like to play a drum solo.
That's the weirdest looking guy you've ever brought in here.
You're going to hurt his feelings. Jerome, you got your bass fiddle ready there? Tune it up, Jerome. That's fine. We're going to play a little waltz time music, a little three-quarter time music, a la Wayne King or one of those fellas. Ready? I'll give you the downbeat, Harry. We're going to begin with the waltz you saved for me. Go ahead.
Take it.
I don't recognize the melody. Of course not. There's no melody with a waltz. Try playing it on the upbeat for a change, will you, Jerome? That's better. It doesn't quite have anything there. The strings on this fiddle are pretty old, as you probably know. Sam, I don't think it'll ever sell. No, you know, I don't either. It sounded better than this in rehearsal. That's enough, Jerome. Cut! I don't think it's going to go over either.
I thought it was too good.
Well, I just didn't have it, fellas. I'm sorry. Next week, I'm going to get my sister-in-law. She plays the ocarina. So I waltzed out of the studio until, once again, watch that bass fiddle getting through the door. K-Star breezing along with the breeze right there.
Lawrence Scott, ladies and gentlemen, by a special NBC tape recording, speaking to you from the factory of a very unusual gentleman, Mr. Myron Morris. Mr. Morris?
Good evening, Mr. Scott. How are you?
Fine. Glad to be here in your studio. You are the president?
You're in my factory.
I mean, in your factory.
Yes. Mr.
Morris?
Uh-huh.
Myron Morris, very unusual name.
No, well, you maybe heard it the other way around.
I have. Mr. Morris?
Yes?
You are president of the original Chief Originals.
The original Chief Originals. That's right. I'm the president of the factory.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about your business and since the Christmas season?
No, I don't ask you about your business, do I?
Well, I mean, this is...
Oh, this business.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant...
None of your business, no.
Oh, I see. Certainly, I'd be happy to tell you about our business here. We're in the business of making what look to be authentic reproductions of expensive merchandise, which, however, are cheap.
Well, no, I think you're probably a little harsh with that.
No, that's the word. Cheap. Let's be honest.
Well, now, let's be honest about this. There are quite a few factories that make originals, reproductions, let's say, and they don't refer to them as cheap. Oh. They're certainly a good grade of merchandise.
We do, and we're proud of it. We make cheap reproductions. Downright cheap.
Well, now, wait, would you step over here? Let me...
Certainly.
I see for Christmas, this beautiful 21-inch color television set is good. Now, listen, look at the wood on this.
Yeah.
It's a very handsome set. It's beautiful.
Looks good, doesn't it?
Why, it's gorgeous. You can't say this is a cheap set.
I certainly
can. Let me just turn it around and...
All right, look in the back there. What do you see?
Son of a gun. Nothing in there.
Right.
I mean, just a piece of furniture?
That's it. That's why we can sell it for $19.95.
$19 for this color television set?
Turn that on. You won't get a picture no matter what you do.
And this is for people who want to impress...
This is for people who want to impress somebody or people they don't much care for.
All right. Well, let's...
I mean, there are a lot of people that...
I think I'm getting the point. Let's, for instance, go over here now. Let's look at some of these appliances in here. This looks like a form of a mixing bowl, an electric mixing bowl. I refrain from using the word master here.
Yes.
Because
right.
it is a trade name.
Yes.
Now, this is a mixing bowl, an automatic electric mixing bowl.
That's right.
And how much does this sell for?
$2.
Oh, now, come on. Now, there are four bowls here, and look at the two batters that are right here. Now, look,
there's no motor.
No motor in
there. That's right. No motor in there.
But there's electric wire running into the...
Let's make it look good. So...
When you sell these for cheap originals.
Certainly.
Well, it's been very interesting.
In land office business.
I was going to say, there are a lot of cheapskates in this town.
Oh, we sell those, too. Really, cheapskates. Yeah, 55 cents.
Well, look at them.
They're
all wheels. They're painted on.
That's
I'll
right.
be darned.
That's right.
Well, this is very nice, and thank you very much.
You want to sit down, and I'll give you a good cigar.
Yeah, I would like to sit down over here.
Sit right down.
Oh, for heaven's sake. It looks like a Duncan Fife original, too.
Sorry, no. It's just
I think this is the...
Fruit wood.
This
and
is the
crate.
End of our interview, and this is sort of the end of the whole thing. I fell right down to the floor.
Jeepers Creepers, that's Frank Sinatra there singing for you.
I was just going to say that was Frank Sinatra singing Jeepers Creepers. It sounded just like Frank Sinatra.
It was, yes.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
Darn.
Hey, it's almost time for my favorite show. Let me turn on the radio here, okay?
And now, Patch Wright, the greatest name in pants patches, brings you Arthur Codfish Time. And here he is, Arthur, the old cross patch, Codfish. Here he is.
I had a little flea on the back of my dog, and the flea on the dog turned up to be a hog, and the flea ate the dog, and the hog ate the flea.
Awesome today, Arthur.
Let me put the ukulele down.
First, you were just singing in the wrong key, and now you're not even on beat, Arthur.
Son of a gun, what a weekend we had this weekend, Meatball.
What did you do, Arthur?
You should have gone with us.
Where were you, Arthur?
We went to the Army-Navy game.
Wonderful, Arthur.
Cully was nice up there in Philly.
Yes.
Did I tell you when I was about 17?
I didn't know you when you were about 17.
So I used to work... I used to work in a little radio station just outside of Philly. In Baltimore.
Yes, yes, Arthur.
And
Do you commute every day, Arthur?
I used to commute every day,
yes,
when I was younger. I remember that was a wonderful station, though. We had a lot of laughs. That game was sensational. I would like to right now congratulate all the fellas in the Army and the Navy and the WACs.
Although they weren't in the game.
And the Waves.
They're not in the game, Arthur.
But just for the fine job of sportsmanship.
Yes.
They did a wonderful thing. Really a brilliant game. Such spirit. Such spirit.
We have a new sponsor today, Arthur.
Swell, Meatball. What is it?
The Crosspatch Corporation, makers of... I beg your pardon. The Patch Right Corporation, makers of pants patches, Arthur.
$1,500 a quarter hour. You can't afford to bobble it too often, Meatball. At least get the name of the guy right. He's paying his money. Patch Right. That's right. Rip your drawers in the morning, patch right tonight.
Yes, Father.
Would you tell us how these patch rights, it's instant patch right, is
very simple, Arthur. You just apply a hot iron and you have an instant adhesion to the bridges, which will cause it to stay there for a long time, is the other.
Not the adhesion.
No, no. You take the patch, you put it on the torn spot of the trouser, apply a hot iron, and presto.
Well, let's see, so our radio audience can see how this works.
Works on the principle of hot splices in film and that sort of thing. The hot iron transfer method, Arthur.
All right. Well, let's see. Give me something that's ripped.
I'm afraid we have nothing in the studio that's torn today, Arthur.
Carmel, have you got something that's ripped?
No, I don't either. Mr. Codfish, I'm sorry.
Has any of the fellas in the band?
No.
No, I got it. Nobody has nothing.
I'm sorry, Arthur. I'll have to go out and buy an old.
No, don't go out. Come here, Tony.
What do you?
Come here. Let me just get a hold of your pants around the knee here, and we'll just.
Arthur, you've got to look in your eye.
Arthur.
That's fine. You got yourself a nice rip in the knee. Let's take it down by your calf just a little bit.
Arthur.
That's fine.
Breezy there, Arthur.
That's about a 5-inch rip, Meatball.
Well, here's a 6 inches now.
Yeah, all right. Give me one of the long patches from Patch Right.
Here you are,
just
Arthur.
Take the protection paper off the piece of the patch.
Yes.
Now you lay very gently, smoothing out the creases.
Arthur.
You get your leg here. Hold still.
Arthur, there's one thing I neglected.
Put the patch right there. You got the hot iron?
Arthur, there's one thing.
Give me the hot iron.
No, Arthur. Arthur!
Oh, I've been branded, Arthur. One thing I forgot to tell you, Arthur, you're supposed to remove the trouser before you apply the patch. Pardon me just a moment, Arthur. That does smart a bit.
Meatball?
Yes.
Excuse me for interrupting.
Yes, Arthur.
Smoking. Still gagging me from the pants rip. Whom are you calling?
I'm calling Texas, Arthur.
Texas, Arthur?
Yes, as long as I have a brand of my own, I might as well buy a ranch.
That did leave kind of scary there, Unique. Yeah, looks kind of cute.
Perfect, Mr. Arthur.
I'll see you tomorrow. Let's see, this is what's left of the NBC Radio Network.
Riverboat Shuffle, Glenn Gray in the orchestra.
I think it's time to do our Volkswagen commercial.
Yeah, boy, it's a hard in my agents are hard in my name, but I didn't see
the agency sent you over to do the Volkswagen commercial.
Yeah, boy, yeah.
Okay, go ahead and read it.
There's Orton this evening, hard.
No, wait.
Yeah.
Do it in English.
So that's 9 or somewhere in English.
You don't speak English?
9.
Do the company?
Yeah, Lord.
You got to do the commercial?
Yeah, Lord.
Okay, well, you read now, Frank.
Yeah, Lord. The Horton Poseidon, Volkswagen.
Volkswagen owners are the best salesmen. Why?
Find the Horton, see the Horton, ride the civilian Horton, say the Horton.
Well, the Volkswagen owner likes the personal little Volkswagen.
The Horton Poseidon Horton.
He likes the economy on gas.
The Horton Poseidon Horton.
And on his 32 mile to a gallon. He likes the workmanship, clean, neat, and solid. He likes the long mileage you get on the tires, the low cost of service, and the upkeep.
Keep.
The 3 coats of paint and the sealer. The rear air-cooled engine that does 70 miles an hour all day and never gets hot. No water or antifreeze is ever added. He wants everybody to know that he's a proud Volkswagen owner.
Yeah.
Why not stop at a Capital Car Sales Limited? Their new address is 1401 Rhode Island Avenue, Northeast, an authorized Volkswagen dealer, and see why folks are bragging about a Volkswagen.
Ach, the lieber Poseidon, Turden, Holen, Weidel, Volkswagen.
Say good night.
Good night.
We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We take the
lights
on to and fro.
Horton,
Potato, Harlan, not now. We'll tell you. Go ahead, Eddie. Sign
it. That's it for this evening. This is Ed Walker here.
Willard Scott, thanking Arthur Page.
Yeah.
Thanking Bobby Shedden. And good old George Brogan. Our special guest, Heinrich von Heinrich.
Horton, Potato, Horton, Charlie Staff. I'll say, but Horton, that's the program of Horton Overseas.
I thought I recognized that haircut.
We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We take the lights on to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We take the lights on to and fro.
Radio Baghdad gets piped in by mistake tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Hey, that's in the bag, Dad.
Ah, Baghdad. It's a gag. 7:30. So will I.
In the past, conservative Democrats and Republicans on rules have blocked much of the kind of legislation Senator Kennedy has promised. Knowing this, Senator Kennedy has talked with top Democrats at the Capitol about how to liberalize the Rules Committee. These Democrats are now considering these ways. The Democratic majority on the committee which determines committee assignments could try to replace two of the most conservative Democrats on rules, but this would be so divisive it would challenge the seniority system so dear to so many that it might not work. So another plan is more likely. This is to enlarge the Rules Committee, the same way and for the same purpose that President Roosevelt tried to pack the Supreme Court. House Democrats could elect two new members to Rules to help outvote the conservatives. These two might be Speaker Sam Rayburn and Majority Leader John McCormick. Bob Abernethy, NBC News.
Kennedy's pace is in sharp contrast to the more leisurely fashion in which President Eisenhower operates. Kennedy wasn't supposed to have any appointments today, but between trips to the hospital to see his new son, he managed to have four important conferences. And tomorrow he will see Michigan Governor Williams, former Defense Secretary Lovett, Connecticut Governor Ribicoff, Representative Udall of Arizona, and Senators Jackson of Washington, Humphrey of Minnesota, and Russell of Georgia. In 8 years in the White House, Mr. Eisenhower has rarely had a calendar as crowded. Even in times of crisis, as during the furor over the U-2 spy plane, Mr. Eisenhower has often managed to get to his Gettysburg farm to play golf or just relax. And Mr. Eisenhower likes to get the pros and cons in terse summaries, while Mr. Kennedy apparently likes to talk things out with most anyone who might have ideas. It's a different approach to the problem of executive responsibility. Robert McCormick, NBC News, Washington.
Now, from Sylvania, comes the year's most exciting news in portable TV. It's the revolutionary new Sylvania reflection-free portable 19-inch TV. Here's the first and only portable to give you a big, square 19-inch picture measured diagonally with no irritating mirror-like reflections from lamps, windows, or bright objects. The secret is a shatterproof safety screen with a reflection-free satin finish that's bonded right to the picture tube. See the amazing new Sylvania reflection-free portable 19-inch TV in the exclusive slim and square styling at your Sylvania dealers today. Listen again on the hour for NBC Radio News, brought to you by Sylvania on NBC. The Citizens Transit Improvement Association will show a film of the latest rapid transit development in Boston tonight at 8 p.m. in the community room of the Washington Post. WRC, WRC-FM, NBC in Washington. Did you know that we Americans spend a full $20 billion a year for legalized gambling, yet we invest only $4.5 billion a year in higher education? Think of it. More than four times as much for gambling as for higher education. Our very survival depends on the ability of our colleges to turn out thinking men and women. Yet today, many of these fine institutions are hard put to make ends meet. In the face of this alarming trend, college applications are expected to double by 1970. If we're to keep our place among the leading nations of the world, we must do something about this situation before it's too late. Won't you help? Contribute to the college of your choice today. For further information, write to Higher Education, Box 36, Times Square Station, New York 36, New York.
All right, let's see if we can get the things fixed up here. We
got the format sheet here.
Yeah, here's the format sheet.
We got the music sheet.
You're calling your wife.
Yeah. Art's got the music sheet.
Yeah, Art, you got the music sheet in there, fella? We're checking out the equipment.
Yeah, nothing. I got the music sheet. Let's check out. Let me check this turntable, make sure it's working here. You hear that?
Yeah, coming in fine. I'll cue up the first record, make sure the thing is on.
Roger, got it.
Okay, let me go over here and tap this microphone. Make sure it's
Yeah, it's live. Okay. All right, we're all set, I think, now, fellas.
Okay, we're about ready to go on the air, so stand by. We'll be ready.
All right. Yeah, catch that, Will.
Yeah, the phone. Art, would you catch the phone in there, fella?
Okay. Hello? What? Oh, okay. I'll tell them. Hey, fellas?
Yeah, what's the matter, Art?
The transmitter. Something's wrong with it. We can't go on the air this afternoon.
What do you mean something's wrong with the transmitter?
Something with the bill, I think. They said the guy came out there and unplugged the thing and turned off the electricity.
You mean WRC didn't pay their electric bill?
Yeah.
Jeez.
We are
are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Ladies and gentlemen, a good evening to you. This, of course, being Wednesday night here in the nation's capital. This Willard Scott and my partner, normally, my normal partner. I'm an odd normal partner, but he's not here tonight. He's gone away for a couple of days to take things easy and think about a new contract and relax and enjoy himself. Actually, Edward's in the hospital with a little operation that he's had coming along for a long time, and now that everything's sort of calm and quiet, he's going to give himself a Christmas present. He's gone to the hospital for a couple days, and he will be back with us. We will keep you posted as to his complete condition, but let me assure all of our good friends, and especially his good friends, that Edward is in good shape. This is something that he's planned on for a long, long time, and he'll be back with us again in about a couple of weeks. We love him very much, and we'll be checking with him from time to time. I'll go over there, and I'll get written testimonies and telephone beepers, maybe, and things like that. We can talk to him. That's a good idea. We'll have a beeper interview. We'll talk to him on the telephone in a couple of days so he can be on the show by remote control. Coming up on our show tonight, Eddie and I, earlier this week, did something that is, I think, perhaps a radio first. We took our portable microphones and our tape recording units, and we went down to the Smithsonian Institute, and we recorded the actual rebuilding of a prehistoric dinosaur. And we will bring you the blow-by-blow description of this rebuilding later on in our program. We have an award, fellas. Incidentally, George Brewington's our engineer. He's the board man, and he's really a board man tonight. And good old Arthur Page is on the consulate.
Always nothing.
And little Bobby Shepton. So, we have an award. The Oriental Rug Dealers of Washington have just voted this show the one they'd most like to pull the rug out from under. Yeah, play the first record, will you, George? Wonderful. Well, that's Jack Marshall on his jaw slappers. That's what they were doing there, that slapping their jaws to tiptoe through the tulips. Now, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we switch you by special tape recording to an interview that took place earlier this afternoon.
Good afternoon again, ladies and gentlemen. This is Willard Scott speaking to you from the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, where we're about to bring you another radio first. We're here in the prehistoric monsters and reptiles section of the institution, and we have with us Mr. Charles Teague, who is the procurator of this particular department. Mr. Teague?
Good afternoon, Mr. Scott, and members of the radio audience. My wife, Ann, and I...
Ann Teague?
That's right, Ann Teague. Maybe you've heard of her.
I think so. Well, Mr. Teague would... Well, that's pretty good, Mr. Teague would. Mr. Teague, would you please tell us what you're going to do this afternoon?
Yes, as I said before, my wife, Ann, and I collect rare old specimens of prehistoric life. And as you see over here, we have the bones of an old dinosaur. We're going to reconstruct them for you right on the air.
Wonderful. Why are we in the airplane building of the
Institute? Well, this is the only building large enough to house a complete dinosaur when it is put together.
All right. Well, what is this? I noticed you have a giant hydraulic crane in the building, too. Well,
that is correct. That is to hoist the main backbone of the dinosaur up when we start to put it together.
Excuse me, Mr. Wood, would you please tell me, or Mr. Teague?
Yes,
Teague Wood.
You got me.
Yes. Would you tell us, what is this airplane hanging right over our heads here?
That is the Spirit of St. Louis, the one that Lucky Lindy flew in 1927. Maybe you remember that.
Real collector's item.
I might point out that this dinosaur skeleton came from Tacoma.
Tacoma in Washington State, huh?
No, Tacoma Park, Maryland. Somebody found it in their backyard and thought it was an old xylophone with all those bones laying there. And
sort of a king-sized Lawrence Welk.
Yes, yeah, so we brought it in here, and now, if you will permit me, I go over here to our giant crane. I will just hoist the crane up just a little bit now so that we can raise the backbone of the dinosaur.
Very good.
Start this crane up here.
The crane is moving now, I see. You knocked out a light. You better stop the crane.
I stop the crane here.
You tore a light right out of the ceiling with the thing.
As I told you, these bones are rather big, and it's kind of awkward to juggle them into position.
You're hoisting the backbone now, is that right?
That's right. Let me just, I got it out of the way of the lights now. I'll just raise it up just a little more.
Okay.
Now we just raise the crane a little higher.
I noticed you just ripped the wing off the Spirit of St. Louis there.
Yes, that's terrible. That's an irreplaceable thing there. I'm awfully sorry about that. I seem to have gotten a little confused.
Well, we are too. I think we better come back to you in a few minutes.
Yes, let me get my thoughts a little more composed, and I will continue this demonstration a little later.
Now back to our studio. And that's good music here in the evening, a little instrumentally speaking. That was a nice vocal. And this is Willard Scott without my partner, Ed Walker. And he's in the hospital having a little operation. So you, all of you, I'm sure, would like to send him greeting cards. Why don't you send him a little greeting card to Ed Walker, WRC, Washington, D.C. Actually, he hasn't even had the operation yet. He has it tomorrow. And it's... one of those operations that, as I say, he's planned on for some time now, and this is the right time to do it, as far as he's concerned. So, he'll be back with us in about a week or so. Now, let's see if we can't go on. Wait a minute. Hold on. What's going on?
Hi, it's Ellis, Scott.
What are you doing over there, sir?
I'm selling myself a brand new car. I thought it was a do-it-yourself automobile kit.
Well, it's very nice, but don't you know that you can go down and buy yourself a brand new 1961 Rambler that won't cost you anything?
Really? Nothing at all?
Well, it costs you a few dollars, but I mean, you're wasting your time on this job yourself. But you can get a 61 Rambler, and it's so beautiful, and the Rambler carries a full year, 12,000-mile warranty, whichever comes first. So why don't you see your Rambler dealer right now?
That's a pretty good idea. I think I will, I am.
Willard Scott again here at the Smithsonian Institution, where we are accomplishing what we believe to be a radio first. We have with us in the prehistoric animals and monster and reptile section of the institution here, Mr. Charles
Teak.
Charles Teak.
That's right.
Mr. Teak, would you continue to explain what
That's
we're doing?
That's a very funny line.
What's that?
Teak would.
Oh, what's the question? I didn't mean to be funny.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Well, as you recall, the last time we were down here a few minutes ago, managed to tear off the wing of the Spirit of St. Louis while trying to hoist the dinosaur skeleton in the air. And now we've got the backbone up there. We're going to try to assemble some of the appendages, the legs and things like that now. You see, we have all these bones.
I see now the power is on.
Yes. We're trying to hoist these things into position here. And you see it's coming along very smoothly now. The leg is hooked onto the skeleton. That's the right rear leg. Now the left front leg.
Right, that's all moving into place.
Yes.
The Spirit of St. Louis is getting in the way again. I think we better watch out for this.
No, we're fine. Everything is fine.
Well, apparently you've managed to dislocate the... Really, prop just fell off there. You've completely managed to completely tear apart the Spirit of St. Louis. You've demolished it.
I'm awfully sorry, folks. I think maybe I should get out of this business.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yes.
Are you going to attempt to do more with the dinosaur?
Huh?
I said, are you going to attempt to do more with the dinosaur?
I think I've done all I can to it right now.
Well,
to you.
We'll be back in a few minutes to try to reestablish and rebuild this dinosaur from prehistoric times.
Thank you.
Willard Scott, back to our studio. Golly, that's pretty. Very lovely song from a very lovely girl. That was Sue Rainey. Was pretty, wasn't it, George? Yeah, I think it's a very pretty song, too, Bobby.
That was a very lovely song, fellas.
Thank you, Arthur. We kind of liked it, too. Very pretty. Well, I think it's time we switch you now back to the Smithsonian by tape recording. Willard Scott once again speaking to you from the Smithsonian Institution, where we are in the reptile and prehistoric animal monster section. And again, we've been trying to rebuild this dinosaur, which was found in, where was that, Mr.?
It was found in Tacoma.
Tacoma, Washington.
Tacoma Park.
I'm sorry, I
Maryland.
Forgot. Tacoma Park, Maryland. And you have been working here for 2 hours, haven't you?
Yes, I'm a little fatigued now, Mr. Scott, but I'm very proud of our accomplishments. I think this is a great day for science.
I see the dinosaur is swinging about 3 feet off the ground. Why is this?
Well, we don't have him exactly in position. Now, we've got the legs and everything on. I just have to push the crane just a little bit lower, and the dinosaur will be...
There he goes. The dinosaur is being lowered gently to the... There he is.
Isn't that a gorgeous spectacle?
It is certainly a credit to the dinosaur builders. This is a beautiful animal. Let me just... Well, the bones are solid, don't
they? Yes, it's a very well put together dinosaur, if I do say so myself.
Really beautiful. What are those over there that I noticed those bones you have in your hand there? Those.
These are a few of the little foot bones. There you notice a couple of ankle bones there. There's a kneecap. Now, these are little things that we can just put on now just by tapping them into position here. The finishing touches, as it were.
Well, it's beautiful.
I think so, yes.
Really a gorgeous reptile. Well, I guess that's about all from our part. It's been wonderful working with you, Mr. Teak.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Mr. Scott. And
thank you, sir.
I hope we've proved something to the world today.
We certainly have.
By assembling this... dinosaur.
Kind of warm in here, isn't it?
Yes, I would like... It's been a little stuffy. Would you open that door over there, sir?
Certainly.
Just get a little ventilation in here.
There
and,
we go.
Is a mite stuffy in
What's happening?
The dogs are coming in. I think they know that we've got bones in here.
Big dog pack coming right in.
That's a valuable animal. Get those dogs. Don't do that. No, come back. Come back here.
Well, this is terrible. They destroyed all of your work. They've knocked this beautiful dinosaur and torn him all apart. Isn't this tragic?
Well, that's bad enough, but the worst part of it is they're going to bury those bones out on the mall. We'll never dig them up again. Come back here, Fido. Come
Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Well, now, dear people, my wonderful partner, Ed Walker, wanted to prove that his insurance policy really works. He's in the hospital, and he'll be there for a couple of days. He planned on an operation for a long time, and now he has found the time to take care of this in his busy schedule. So why don't you send him a card? Send a card to Ed Walker, WRC, Washington. Charles Stafford says this show is still heard overseas. Thank you.
We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Don't forget, let a smile be your umbrella tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Holly Wright. When I'm not selling shoes and cars and fried clams on television or casting news on radio, I'm apt to be found jockeying discs on the program called Saturday Night with Holly Wright. This week, I'm going to play about 27 fine old tunes, including Stardust and Moonglow. Won't you join me Saturday Night with Holly Wright, 10:30 until 1, on WRC and WRC-FM, Washington.